You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, and honestly, everything sucks.
Does it, though?
Well, I guess, I mean, one Los Angeles team won in overtime, so that's good news. It just,
yeah,
unfortunately,
this is not the one that most of Los Angeles probably would have picked, given the stakes tonight. But hey, the Dodgers blew a 3-1 lead in the finals, so they're like the Warriors almost.
I will punch you through my computer. all right, so the way today's show is going to work out, and by the way, you can find that show on Megaphone, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, iTunes, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. Today, we're just going to talk about the game. We're going to see where that takes us. We're going to open up, though, by totally
our new recurring segment, reading John Wall's stat line.
Yep. Let me pull it up really quick. Here it is right now. All right. You ready?
Yeah, hit me with the no mercy.
All right. 18 points.
Okay, that's pretty good.
All right. He had one steal.
All right. Yeah, you know, play a little defense.
9 assists.
Not bad.
3 rebounds.
Okay.
On 7 of 22 shooting. Ready? Let's go.
He really told reporters that he was not going to show Lonzo any mercy, and then went out and took 22 shots and scored 18 points.
He agreed with the word torture.
They tweeted about it like they were the Golden State Warriors, and like this was like some young upstart who was just like disrespecting them, and then they went out and lost in overtime to a team that's probably not even going to make the playoffs. Like,
Marcin Gortat is currently trending in Los Angeles.
Oh my god.
He has a stupid mohawk. Marcin Mohawk.
I just John Wall's last shot. He was, like, bending over and, like, trying to draw a foul on Lonzo, like, in desperation to try and extend that game, and he missed. He just bricked it.
His form of torture is bending over the person he's torturing.
Oh, my God. That was the dumbest thing in game. Like, I don't know. Like, I have no words. That's why we've been laughing for, like, 2 minutes, because that was just the dumbest thing. The whole situation, like I wrote about this like earlier today. Like, would Wall have really said he was going to take it easy on Lonzo if LeVar didn't talk?
Right. Exactly. It's like, who would he? Why would he take it easy on anybody? Why would he show
like
mercy
like
on
we
anybody?
Just learned that John Wall shows mercy to the rest of the league. It's just like LeVar guaranteed a win, and he's like, oh no, I actually got to try this game.
Yeah, no, I would be kind of annoyed if I was the Washington Wizards and I was paying John Wall $200 billion to take it easy on 28 of the remaining 29 point guards across the NBA.
Markelle Fultz is going to get some mercy, mainly because like he's not going to actually play against Wall because he's coming off the bench and like his shot's awful now. But like,
yeah, it's more pity than mercy. It's like he's going to watch Markelle Fultz shoot a free throw and be like, oh, you poor kid.
John Wall's going to like block him and then feel bad and give him the ball back.
Yeah.
Be like, no, kid, you got this one. Okay.
Marcin Gortat's going to tweet after the game, my heart's with you, Markelle Fultz.
Thoughts and prayers to Markelle Fultz's jump shot.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers to Markelle Fultz's shoulder.
Yeah. Now that's just mean. That's like too real. But I mean, seriously, like that game was so weird. It went from like Julius Randle is laughing on the bench about not being in on a late possession to Julius Randle being the late game hero and in like hitting that game tying three and then going and then in overtime playing really well. And the Lakers power forward minutes are like this battle is going to be crazy all season, it seems like.
I don't know how anybody watches that game. And now look, I'll say this. I only really fully paid attention to the very end of the game. The Dodgers were busy ruining my sports life tonight. Twice. Thank you, Dodgers. I agree.
Yeah, they came back and then they just punch you right below the belt again.
Draymond was sitting there just using my nutsack like a small bag that they use. But
no, just no. Come on, man. I gotta bleep that out or something.
Well, yeah, we'll figure that out. But no, I with that being the disclaimer that I didn't pay full attention, I had the two TVs.
I feel screen. Like that's not a necessary disclaimer with you
that's
normally.
Probably, that's probably true.
Like, it's either I didn't pay full attention. The Anthony Irwin story.
I'm gonna take everybody behind the curtain here for a second. So Harrison is the one who pays really close attention to audio stuff and all of that. And every time he answers or calls and I answer, he says, "All right, how do I sound?" And the other day, Harrison actually got frustrated because I said, "Wait, what's that?" Because again, I wasn't fully paying attention. That's how this goes. But again, getting back to the point at hand, I don't see how anybody watches that game and thinks to themselves, Larry Nance Jr. has to play. Especially the end of that game. Julius Randle was
The end of that game, absolutely not. He was actually really he was quite good in the first half. He ended up scoring. So I know you're a little biased because you mainly watch the second half. He was pretty good in the first half. He actually ended up setting a new career high tonight.
18 points and 10 rebounds.
Yeah, like he was pretty good. He had like 7 rebounds minutes. In like almost like just over the first quarter.
Yeah. The Lakers still need to figure something out between those three, between Kuzma, Randle, and Nance.
For sure.
There are three players that aren't quite good enough that you absolutely have to play, but they're too good to play under 20 minutes a game, I think. Maybe Nance could maybe play an efficient or an effective under 20 minutes per game. And maybe that's a thinking that Nance comes in.
Yeah, Randle and Kuzma need a little bit of rhythm.
Yeah, I mean, Randle tonight played 19 minutes. That's not nearly enough. Kuzma played 34, which is good. And from what I was watching, his shot wasn't where it normally is. 1-6 from 3, 6-15 on the night. But those three guys, I mean, you kind of figure you have 48 minutes there, and that's just simply not enough minutes to divvy up between three guys who, again, aren't quite good enough that you have to find them minutes, but aren't necessarily bad enough that if they lost minutes completely, nobody would miss anything. And you need Nance's energy, you need Randall's creativity with the ball, you need Kyle Kuzma's scoring ability. If they could just, Harrison, do you think we can clone the three of them into one player and have like LeBron?
Well, it wouldn't. Yes, if you could find a way to like time, like you know, transport them, like make a horrible teleporter accident and turn them into one player, then they'd probably be that would be like the best player in the league. But I actually do. I have a real solution that's not involving junk science for this. But we should take a quick break first.
All right. So, let's hear this monster theory that you can put together.
So I think that the playing time problem right now is really just a Randle and Nance problem because it's Nance is getting the starter minutes, Randle is getting the bench minutes, and Kuzma's going to find his minutes because Lakers
play the small forward.
Like they've shut down Luol Deng and they've made Kuzma the backup three and he's doing pretty well. Like he wasn't his most efficient tonight, but he was mostly effective while he was out there. If you're a rookie, you're going to have bad shooting nights. Like 15 points on 15 shots, not the most efficient, but we're not going to laugh at him like we laughed at Wall because again, he's like 90 years younger or like, you know, like five or something. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how old John Wall is off the top of my head.
I would probably imagine Wall was probably around 27, Kuzma's 22.
So like 4 years, whatever. Wall has a lot more NBA experience. So these types of things, you're going to expect that some nights from Kuzma. I still thought overall, like, his feel for the game was good tonight. That kind of thing was good. And so the Lakers have him slotted in as that backup wing. And so he'll get his minutes. I think the problem that Luke Walton is going to run into is in the front court. And even removing Kuzma from that, like, say he's getting the majority of his minutes on the wing now, and which isn't necessarily true, but he's getting some minutes on the wing. You would think that would clear up the logjam. But if they're going to be insistent upon playing Bogut, which tonight they weren't, he only played 2 minutes, but it just creates a problem if you're going to have a traditional backup center. And so tonight they decided to go away from that. And they had Nance play 24. They had Randall play 19. Kuzma played his 34. So if they, Bogut's going to have to be excised from the rotation for this to kind of work, I think. And even then, Randall should still be playing more than 19 minutes if you're trying to either grow him as a player or maximize his trade value going forward.
Well, one of the things that you and I don't think we actually talked about it on the last show, but one of the things that we were thinking about talking was not necessarily just that Randall's role in this has been minimized to the point that it has been, but the fact that he doesn't really seem okay with it. Tonight was the first night that he kind of played through the frustration and really impacted the game in ways that he was able to. But I mean, for the majority of the season so far, he's just kind of shrugged his shoulders and say, well, F this, I'll just wait till I could sign somewhere else.
I kind of disagree with that. He's bounced back as effort wise, I think, in my mind, the last couple days and the last couple games. But he was visibly, apparently, like, not very happy at getting benched down the stretch. And then he still came in and he did his thing. He hit a three. Like, that's huge. I don't know that he's going
clean
to be able
to. It looked really clean.
I mean, his jumper doesn't look like terrible. It just hasn't been very good. Like structurally. And but he's as long as he's confident in it, he should continue to shoot that and take less of kind of the mid-range shots. But we'll see where that goes. The Lakers have been talking him up, and this is the year he finally develops a three-point shot for quite a while now. And so, you know, who knows what's going to happen with that. But it's very clear now, if it wasn't before, that the solution is that the Lakers just cannot have a traditional backup center. They need to get these guys their minutes. And if you're going to play Lopez, then go ahead and play Lopez. But you need to – Bogut needs to be out. And, like, Zubats and Bryant and all those guys, like, they can't be playing if the Lakers are going to maximize this triptych that they have of Randall, Nance, and Kuzma.
Yeah, I mean, Bogut played 2 minutes tonight and at no point looked like somebody who you need to find minutes for in a rotation.
At no point in the 2 minutes?
Yeah, like in at no point in those 2 minutes was like, oh, thank God Andrew Bogut's on the court. Like, actually, the lineups that the Lakers were playing down the stretch of both regulation and overtime, I really liked. I really liked the lineup that they had out there when Ingram tied the game and sent it into overtime. I forget. I could try to name it. I think it was Lonzo, KCP, Ingram, probably Kuzma, and Lopez. And because of that, because the defense had to stick with Kuzma and had to stick with Lopez and had to stick with KCP, when Ingram forced his way into the paint and forced up that shot, there was nobody else there to really contend with him for the rebound, and he was able to tip it in because of that. I mean, that's spacing. That's something that we've been begging for since the season started. And then as the in overtime tonight, the lineup was mostly Lonzo, KCP, Ingram, Kuzma, and Randall. And again, I mean, Randall, you lose some of the spacing and rim protection in Randall that you would
have. Except for when he hits game-tying threes.
Yeah, well, right. and also protects the rim on John Wall by sticking his face in his elbow. But I mean, I like those lineups out there because, one, I think they make sense from a basketball standpoint. But, two, they're fun lineups. Like, the Lakers aren't going to be a playoff team this year. You know, they probably won't come close. I think that they'll be out of the playoff picture with a month left in the season. We know this now. But they can be entertaining. They can be fun to watch, and those the end of regulation and into overtime was actually legitimately fun, and I think it was because those lineups that they were playing out there made basketball sense.
Yeah, and I want to talk a little bit more about that, but we should take another quick break.
All right.
So I wanted to talk. You touched on Ingram's game winner, game tie. I'm struggling to. That was the game winner, right? His Ingram? His go gadget like arm.
No, it was a tip back to send it in overtime.
Yes. Okay. So I'm mixing my shots up. But it's been okay. A long
time. I only pay partial attention, and I got that right.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll give you credit on this one. But I was curious, like. So we talked yesterday about how he has kind of become almost underappreciated because his preseason was so bad and his first game was so bad, and he's kind of bounced back since then. He continued that tonight. He is shooting 50% from the field, scored 19 points again, had a double-double with 10 rebounds. I just think, like, slowly but surely he's showing progress, and I think it's why all of this rush to just kind of bury him early in the season was kind of dumb.
Yeah, I'll admit. Well, again, it's a tiny sample size, so I'm not going
to
cop.
Hold on, Anthony. Just real quick, I just wanted to say that was me specifically calling you dumb.
Yeah, no, I know. Okay, I know. But again, we're talking about three games compared. Well, no, two games now, right? Two and a half games. The second game, he wasn't exactly tremendous. Tonight, he was legitimately good, and the one thing that I really enjoyed about tonight's game was the rebounding total, because it shows that. I mean, it's young players tend to do this. They get more involved in other facets of the game when their shot starts going, because, you know, it gives them a little bit more energy to be able to help all over the place. And vets kind of go the other way, where they recognize that their shot isn't necessarily falling, so they see what they can do elsewhere around the court. But that's one thing that Ingram can really provide, because when Ingram gets a rebound, he's basically a point guard dribbling at that point. He can go coast to coast. He can take a few dribbles out and hit Lonzo with a running start, or send a hit ahead pass to somebody with a running start. That's a big difference compared to guys like, say, Bogut or Lopez or Nance. When they get a rebound, they're immediately looking to outlet to somebody because they can't dribble down the court. And so when Ingram gets involved in the rebounding game, and again, for me, my top priority for the Lakers this year is, aside from player development and things that actually matter long term, but my top priority for the Lakers personally as a Laker fan is, can you please be fun to watch? And when Ingram gets rebounds and Randall gets rebounds, those guys are fun to watch get out in transition, because it's kind of cool to watch 6'10", 6'9" guys get out and dribble the ball like point guards. It's just it's kind of a cool thing, and it tends to help the basketball team.
Yeah, well, at any time, it's the same principle as Lonzo's outlet passes that, again, his touchdown passing is on point. Somebody was saying he's going to challenge Kevin Love. Like, he's past Kevin Love. I'm sorry. like he's the best outlet passer in the NBA already. It's just, like, he just is. I'm sorry. And, like, but the Ingram thing, it's the same principle where you're just getting into your offense faster, and while the defense is more scrambled, that extra second to outlet the ball to the guard is an extra second, and that can make a difference at the NBA level, where windows close so fast, and teams especially have been so focused on getting back in transition against the Lakers, because that's the only place where they're really that effective right now.
The Lakers had a few possessions tonight while I was watching, where they went through their primary and secondary options in a set or in their motion offense or whatever it was, and got to the tertiary option and had more than 7 seconds left on the shot clock. And that is huge, because that doesn't – what happens is when that doesn't occur is whoever gets the ball has like 5 seconds to try to make a move against a defender who understands that they only have 5 seconds to try to get a shot off. And having those extra 2 seconds allows for an extra dribble, allows for another pass, allows for a better look. And in half-court settings, and this is where the Lakers are going to have to show the most growth over the course of this year, in half-court settings, that type of execution is the difference oftentimes between a bad to mediocre team and a good to great team, a good to playoff team. Those are the differences there. And the Lakers did that tonight against a playoff team, a legitimate playoff contender, albeit in the Eastern
Conference Finals contender.
Albeit in the Eastern Conference, but yeah, a legitimate conference finals contender, especially with Hayward kind of with Gordon Hayward ankle.
No, come on now. Don't do that. That's too far.
It's not too soon.
It's too soon.
They're the Celtics, dude. I can do this all I want.
Okay. I think we've kind of picked apart the only guy we haven't really talked about is Lonzo. Mm-hmm. And I do want to, like, I think it's time to give a shout out to the most blessed prophet LeVar, who has yet to be wrong, and just, like, may he long speak things into existence. And I just, like, at this point, if LeVar Ball came to me with a bet, no matter how outlandish it was, and he told me it was going to happen and he was willing to bet me, I would not bet against him. That would just never happen. I would never bet against LeVar Ball at this point. He just, like, he doesn't lose.
No, I mean LeVar Ball has the quote out there, right? Never lost.
Did Michael Jordan beat him one on one in basketball? Never. No, never happened.
Has not happened.
Yeah, he is undefeated against Michael Jordan in one on one.
He's undefeated against John Wall.
Yeah.
One on one.
Yeah, at least in trash talk through the media.
No, look and one on one, John Wall, and one on one.
Yeah, and one on one.
Yeah, and LeBron. Like, name your player. He's undefeated against them.
Like, I mean, he just, on some level, like, I think I'm starting to think this might be just like, and maybe this is me getting, like, too woke on this, but I think at some point it's almost like he's trying to get these guys to go at Lonzo so that Lonzo will be better.
I don't know. I think it's a higher likeliness or likelihood that he's being paid by ESPN. Like, it just so happens that tonight is an ESPN matchup, and he decides to go at John Wall and go at...
Or he knows it's good for their big baller branding.
Yeah, I think that's the higher likelihood. But look, I think I'll say this, and we said it on the last show, and I wrote it today for Lakers Outsiders, but it's hard for me to knock LeVar Ball for saying stupid things when, one, the media feeds it 100%. You know that anytime he says something about a... I used the analogy in the article today. As soon as he says something crazy about any NBA player, you know that player who he's talking about, some beat reporter is going to go and repeat whatever they said and kind of be that instigator and fight. Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, yes, he did. Oh, you're going
to
let
Can
him
you
say
believe
that shit?
LeVar said this? Yeah. What do you have to say about this, John?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on there.
That was me practicing for journalism.
You're
nailed it.
Passed in my book. You're good to go. But
I don't have to go to class tomorrow. That's cool.
I hope you don't. That'd be cool.
Sorry, Walt.
I hope you don't. You send an email like already past journalism.
Yeah. Sorry, Professor Stewart. My bad.
But I think it's hard for me to knock LeVar Ball for having confidence in his kid. It's hard for me to knock LeVar Ball when the media feeds his confidence in his kid.
I would never knock LeVar Ball. LeVar Ball is God's gift to clickbait and God's gift to media and just covering the... He's just a fun thing. And now that I don't have to write up every single thing that he says, I have learned to embrace LeVar, and I love LeVar.
The disclaimer, most of what I say usually comes with a disclaimer. The note here that's important to point out is when he isn't being, you know, offensive. When he was telling that girl on Cowherd to stay in her lane, like that's
a little cool, iffy. But...
But when he's just out there and he's saying that, you know, he has confidence in his son that he isn't going to lose twice in the same week, then why if Julius
Randle...
Whenever
he says this stuff, it's almost like he's trying not to break. You can see that, like, crack of a smile where, like, he's trying not to crack himself up while he's saying it. It's a struggle to deliver it with a straight face. He's messing with us,
you know,
and it's hilarious.
You know what I want to have happen, Harrison? Honest to God, this is what I want to have happen. All of the parents of the Lakers, across the Lakers roster, I want all of them to start trying to one-upping LeVar Ball. just see how this goes.
Alex Caruso's mom says that actually he's the best player on the Lakers,
Alex
as
Caruso,
far as point guards.
Alex Caruso's mom's going to start walking around in a big Balder brand shirt. Suck it, LeVar.
It's just going to say like BBB in slightly different font.
Yeah, it'd be great. Yeah, in italics or something. It'd be great if like Alex Caruso's mom said like, I'd rather have my son balding than whatever your son is trying to pull off with his actual hair. Like that'd be, but what I want though is, look, at the end of the day, I want this stuff to be fun. We should be able, it was great. The first segment, just laughing at John Wall. It was really fun. Sports should be fun.
He showed Lonzo Ball absolutely no mercy, Anthony. They tortured him out there. It was bad, except for that they didn't win and John Wall was inefficient.
18 points on 22 shots for John Wall tonight.
Never lost.
Never lost. All right. I wanted to talk about Lonzo Ball really quick before we sign off here.
Yes, we ended up just kind of talking about LeVar.
but in terms of Lonzo Ball's actual game, so a few things, I paid a little bit closer attention to Lonzo when he had the ball tonight and how the defense was treating him. And I noticed a couple things. One, when he shoots it, I want him to jump more straight up. He jumps forward on his set shot, which makes it really hard to be consistent with your length whenever you're shooting. And the other thing that I'd like to see from Lonzo is some more creativity when he's finishing around the rim. He doesn't use his floater nearly enough.
The way he shoots around the rim is a little weird.
Yeah, well, that we give Julius Randle a hard time because he doesn't finish with his right hand, but Lonzo Ball is Julius Randle-esque with his lack of desire to shoot with his left hand. It's not great. And for a guard who is as tall as he is.
But he's right-handed, so nobody's going to make any comments on it.
Right, yeah. It's weird how that works out. But I want Lonzo Ball to do those kinds of things. And then also, I'd like for him to keep his dribble alive a little bit longer as he drives to the basket. Because one thing, even if the defense isn't going to be honest and think that you're actually going to shoot, if you keep your dribble alive and you kind of dribble under the basket, Steve Nash made a career out of doing this, and you kind of dribble through the basket, you put the defense in a weird spot because they are almost never positioned the way that they would be in those kinds of possessions. So either Lonzo has to attempt more field goals at the rim with more creativity, or he has to dribble the ball a little bit longer and wait for somebody to pop open. But what he's doing right now is he's shooting these really weird like floater in between things. He doesn't use his left hand and it's not really effective, and you're seeing it in his field goal percentage tonight, 2 of 11, and then 0 of 5 for 3. That kind of gets back to what I was talking about before. But that those are things that as the year goes along and as his career goes along, that he'll need to add if he ever wants to be a truly impactful point guard.
He's a rookie. I think he's going to figure that stuff out eventually. I've been really impressed with what I've seen so far.
Mm-hmm. And well, the 8 rebounds, the 10 assists, those are good things, and that gets back to what I was talking about earlier about Ingram, that I thought Ingram's activity on the boards tonight had a lot to do with him shooting the ball a little bit better, whereas Ball, even on nights where he doesn't shoot the ball very well, he's still really active on the boards, and that's huge for the Lakers transition game. So I'm not down on Lonzo or anything like that. I just, those are minor tweaks I'd like to see as the season goes along and defenses start playing him. He starts to see more defenses playing him the way they've played him so far.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's totally reasonable. And I think he will make those adjustments eventually. It's just going to take time.
Yep, absolutely. That does it, though. The Lakers wind up winning 102-99. The Dodgers wind up losing and kicking me in the heart. I feel a little bit better. I'm glad that the Lakers won tonight.
I'm surprised you made it through this podcast, to be honest. I want to give you props. Good job.
I'm going to go and cry now. Can I go cry now?
Yeah, you can go cry.
All right. Talk to everybody later. Wait, we shouldn't talk to everybody later. Let's laugh at John Wall one more time. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
That was... Oh, my God.